Today's message is called Disciples or Followers. If you would turn to Matthew 28, we will be reading through verses 18 through 20. I'll be reading out of the NIV, New International Version. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I commanded you, and surely I will be with you always, even to the very end of this age." That is a promise, but it's also a commissioning. And part of some of the things that I've been praying about, most of the leaders know, I spend a month seeking God, December, as to where He wants to lead us in things to happen for Streams. And it is, like I said, the very last thing of the five-year plan is getting us planted into our own building. And it is very exciting for me to see God save the best to last, because we will really appreciate the space that we have. And those of us that have been there can say that there is plenty of space. You don't have to run around in timidity about your children running up and all. There is space. And you know what? It's a great opportunity to teach our children how to worship God properly. Even when they take their temper tantrums, you are teaching them to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and behaving properly in His house. Even though this is used as a sanctuary, you guys are doing a great job. I don't want you to think that you're not. For, you know, in this atmosphere that we're at, you're doing a really good job. And so, you know, you should commend yourselves, but also commit yourselves to the next step. Okay? As I sat in my office, I began to start thinking about where we're going and the work that's going to come, because new believers are going to come in, and that requires discipling in a process. And I shared with the leaders, I was sharing my heart. I said to them that you know what, I'm really concerned about the disciples that I'm making. I'm really concerned about that. And the reason for it is the Holy Spirit asked me, what kind of disciple do I want to make? And you know, when you hear the Lord speak to your heart, the question may seem very simple, but it's very complex, because you have to think about where you are and what kind of disciple you are. And so, I began to think about the process. And I shared with the leaders that I think most of us understand that, or think that we're disciples, but you don't understand the process and the importance of the emphasis that I have from periodically emphasizing you need to be discipled. You need to have these things into your life. And it's not necessarily a thing of accountability, although it is, but it's about maturity. And having these things put into your life to be discipled, either one-on-one or in small groups, and what I'm planning on doing, if the Lord allows it, is to go back to the basics, have a small group studies in our foundations, and go through these things. And one of the first things that we're going to do in a small group is have our encounter with God. And I'm already in process with that. But we have to understand that God is bringing us to a place, and He is not bringing us to a place for us to maintain our position. Okay? Our position must always be going forward, always growing, always maturing. And that position is always fought against because of our selfishness and self-centeredness. And so today I want us to begin to start thinking about what is going on in our lives, because I've looked at each and every one of you, and what I see is people that are still struggling with sin issues. They have not learned to die to themselves. I see people who are not confident in what they believe, because they're not sharing their lives, either telling other people what God is doing in their lives, or have this false bravado that that's not my calling. But as we see here, he didn't specify who's to do it. He specified it's got to be done. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey. You see, your maturity is based on your obedience, my obedience to what God's doing. And some of you know my testimony. You know, I was involved with drugs and all that nonsense that was in there. I was a workaholic. I did everything to keep out of the house. I was a sports nut. So if I wasn't working, I was playing sports and I was getting high, the whole nine yards. When God got a hold of me, it was radical. And here we are 25 years later that he has found me and made me to be a pastor, a shepherd, caring for the souls of his people. And my heart is to present you mature to him. You see, because what we do here in this life, in this world, is only in preparation for the real work of the kingdom. That's really what it is. And guys who have been here understand that I've used this line. You know, the Bible is our textbook, the world is our classroom, and the Holy Spirit is our teacher. What we do in that time will determine the rewards that we have in heaven. And some of these things, you know, that we go through are very, very difficult. We think that we're insulated from those troubles. And the way we react or respond will determine the degree of our maturity. And to be truthful with you, I have not arrived. Okay? I struggle in my areas. But I've had to ask myself several questions about this. I've asked myself, what kind of disciple am I? Am I a follower or am I a disciple of Jesus Christ? Have I been obedient to the teachings and have I got my life in such a way that it is aligned to what he has taught? What kind of disciple do I want to be? Am I satisfied where I'm at, or do I see that there's more of God that needs to come out of me? And the final question I ask myself, if I'm not satisfied, then how am I going to get to that place where I need to be so I can serve God's people better, I can serve my family better, I can serve my Lord better in my life? And I ask you to write those questions down for yourself. What kind of disciple do you want to be? Are you satisfied where you are? And where is it that you want to be? And how are you going to get there? Because, you know what? You have to be honest with yourself. Now, discipleship is a process that all of us must go through. And when we sit and relegate our disciple process to our Bible and our time before God, we are only benefiting from half of what God has for us. The other half is us interacting one with another to glean and share our lives with each other so that you can benefit from our stupidity, my stupidity. And you guys are a lot better looking and a lot smarter than I am, because I only got this smart because I made a ton of mistakes. The key is I've learned from them. And I've learned God's grace and how to walk in that, in His forgiveness and His mercy. That's not to throw a guilt trip on you. It's just the process of learning who He is and understanding who I am compared to Him. It's not comparing myself to you. It's comparing myself to Him. Because the ultimate goal is what? Us being like Him, Christ-likeness, right? And so in discipling, we get to ask those important questions of each other and hopefully come to an understanding of how God spoke to me or showed me through the Scriptures, or someone taught me how they did things in order to help me become successful. So the basic thing is, I think what we need to do is go back to basics and understand that a disciple is simply a pupil, a student, or an adherent to a teacher. It's somebody who comes alongside and is glued to the hip to them. The disciple can develop as a disciple of Moses, and that means that they're legalistic. There's rules and regulations that you have to do, which is what the Pharisees were. Everything was in functionality, not dealing with heart conditions. Or the disciple can be a disciple of Jesus Christ, which is a disciple of love, grace and mercy, being obedient to what the Lord tells us to do. Not what we think, but what He says to do. That's what a disciple is. But a follower is real simple. A disciple is committed to the process. A follower is one who copies or imitates another in regard to the one's ideas, but doesn't truly seek to become like the one that they're following. They're not committed. And commitment is a big issue in the kingdom. And the reason why families are messed up, or why we have so many broken families, is the commitment issue. I love you, but I'm not going to marry you. I love you for what you provide for me. Commitment is, no matter what I go through, I'm in it with you no matter what. And that's what commitment is. That's what a disciple is. The disciple thinks less about themselves and more about everybody else. And this should bring us to the first question. What kind of disciple am I? Am I being discipled? Or am I the type of person who just follows around? I carry my Bible. I look like everybody else. I pretend in front of everybody else. But when I get out of the presence of godly people, I live like how I feel like living. I do what I feel like doing. That is a follower of Jesus Christ. That is not a disciple. Now, a disciple can have these issues going on, but they are ever progressively changing, day by day by day. A disciple of Christ can obey without fear or retribution from God, because all authority is His. We have been forgiven of our sins. God has extended mercy. He has given us a new heart. He has regenerated our spirits. We are now intuitively in line with God, and we begin to start seeking what He wants. And we do that by being in His Word, reading His Word, praying, and doing what He tells us to do. It's really that simple. I got into a discussion, which I did not want to discuss, with a pastor friend of mine this past week. And we were talking about what God was doing, and we were talking about tithing. And he says, I could show you in the Bible that tithing is not for New Testament believers. I said, okay. And I said, I could show you where it is. I said, so you believe the way you want to believe. I believe what God has instructed me. I said, but look at the fruit of life. Because there's always fruit in our obedience. The fruit that I see is my relationship to my children is healthy. I see God meeting our needs through some really difficult times. I look at the blessings of God upon your lives and how you guys are maturing and changing. I look at God's provision. Supernaturally, God has provided an opportunity for us to have a building. They have been looking for a building for probably as long, and they have been renting a facility for $2,000 a month. And they've been in this building 10 years. So I did the fast math. I said, that's $44,000 a year, 10 years. That's $240,000 that you could have had and paid for a building. He teaches giving. What I'm saying in this process is that Jesus said, you'll know them by the fruit. And fruit is always produced well. Some really good fruit, some in 30%, some in 60%, some in 100-fold. And I really believe that because we are faithful in teaching God's Word, not in a legalistic way, because tithing, even though that's obedience to God, has nothing to do with the Jew, it has nothing to do with the church, it has everything to do with the condition of your heart. That's what it has. When you just put a dollar in there, I consider that an offering. When you put in a tenth, now you're obedient to God. But that's only the beginning. And this year I'll teach about offerings and alms and stuff so that you have a proper understanding what God looks at. Because He's looking at the condition of our hearts. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, we're an open book. Search me, O Lord. Find any wicked thing in me. Prove my heart. Prove me. We don't have to fear God because all power and authority is His. Our obedience is made complete because we love God and understand He first loved us while we were yet sinners, according to Luke, or 1 John 4:19. We're dependent upon His power and guidance to live for kingdom expansion. That is your purpose here on earth, is to expand His kingdom. Meaning that all our resources, all our energies, all our thought, all the things that we do, is for the sole purpose of connecting with another person, building that bridge, loving them into the kingdom, and then you disciple that person. Well, Pastor, I've only been saved for a week. You know 1 week's more than that person that just got saved. You see, the disciple process is not just for pastor or for leaders of the church. They're the ones that have matured enough to share and have the confidence to share with each other. But the responsibility is on the body of Christ. Right? As we had kids, it wasn't just the responsibility of the mother, it was the responsibility of the father to help raise those children. Each having specific roles, and if you don't know what your roles are, you tend to mess up and feed your own selfishness and self-centeredness at the expense of your marriage, at the expense of your children, at your expense of the relationship to Jesus Christ. And God has a means in which He tells us, disciples us. We do this by utilizing God's power and authority for kingdom expansion. We do this because of not of ourselves, but see the victory of the cross, that we die to ourselves. When I died on the cross, my life as I knew it before is no longer holding me prisoner. Because I signified that by going into the waters of baptism. Right? What does the waters of baptism signify? Anybody, tell me. What's it mean? Die with Christ, raised with Him. Absolutely correct. But not only have you been raised with Him, you have been raised in power and authority. His power and authority. What is power? The ability to wage war. What is authority? Well, if we've been raised, why are we losing the war? You see, you don't know who you are in Christ, and that's why you need to be discipled, and so have your mind renewed. Well, Pastor, you know, I just don't happen to believe it. I don't care if you believe it or not. Truth is truth. Whether you believe truth or don't believe truth, that's totally on your side. I tend to believe truth, and I tend to embrace truth, because you know what? I got tired of getting my brains kicked in. I got tired of being addicted to stuff that kept me from living a life that was enjoyable. I got tired of making excuses of how I was raised. I got tired of my selfishness and self-centeredness. I got tired of all that stuff, and then I died. And when I died, I became alive. and every person who has gone into the waters of baptism, you have been raised in resurrected power. You are victorious in everything that you do. And what we need to do as disciples is remove everything that is an obstacle, remove every excuse why we can't, and remove every individual that tries to inhibit us from being who God says we are. And that's hard to do. That's really hard to do. I was talking with this pastor, and he was telling me about a situation that was going in his church, and I said, well, you know, that's really great. I said, Abiathar, when the sons of Israel had married foreign women, he went into a tent and he killed a fellow Jew and his wife because it was an abomination to what God said for them not to do. He told them they were not to mingle with foreigners. He told them to slay them, destroy them, and then take over the land. And when that revelation came to the priesthood, they were very zealous. They gave the men a chance to put away their wives, get rid of them, get rid of their bastardized children, and begin to walk in the righteousness of God. Now, what does that mean? If you understand the scriptures were that those heathens had to come in to faith of God. And if they were willing to come into faith of God, Judaism, whatever you want to call it, they would be accepted as a full member. But those who refused that were destroyed. It's like a cancer in your body. You're going to allow the cancer to stay in your body, or you're going to get rid of it so that you can recover and be healthy? I mean, it's very simple when you understand the purposes of God. True disciples of Christ put their trust in the Lord and enter into the waters of baptism. When they enter into the waters of baptism, they no longer live for themselves, they live for their King. And that's where the process goes to learn who you are. But it's also interacting with the saints in the local church. It's living in the teachings of Christ to glorify the Father and win the lost to Christ and make them disciples of the Lord. See how it goes? It's constantly in perpetuation. I bring Sean in, I disciple him. Sean goes to the next person. He brings two in, he disciples them. Those two that come in that are discipled, they go and win five. Now they disciple those five. Do you see how it goes? And as it gets more difficult, it goes up the ladder. Well, Sean, you know, this guy's got this problem. I don't know about that answer. Let's go talk to Pastor, see what happens. It's the Jethro principle in reverse. Once a person who has been led to the Lord into faith, saving faith, true saving faith, we should baptize them immediately. Now, we don't do it here because I really believe it's the work of the Holy Spirit. First, to bring the Holy Spirit to bring you to Christ. And second, to allow you to make those decisions. In that culture, when we read the scriptures, in that culture, they understood about baptism right away. And so they immediately baptized them. I believe that as the Holy Spirit works on a person's heart and as they mature in their understanding and their relationship, there are those who want to get baptized right away. There are those, and Sean was one that got baptized right away. As a matter of fact, it was cold that day. We chiseled the ice out of a hot tub and we baptized him. But we did it because his heart was saying, Pastor, I feel like I need to get baptized. Okay, let's do it. Every church that has a process in order to disciple people is a successful church. Okay? Success is not predicated on numbers or how much money you have. Success is based on how many true disciples you have that follow Jesus Christ. Streams has a process. That process is our foundations, which is designed to fill in the holes of our belief system in God so that we understand the rudiments of our faith. We also have roots of character, which is dealing with the sin issues in our personal lives, and once and for all, nail them to the cross, getting victory, and moving on. We also have encounter with God, which is designed to get rid of every spiritual thing that inhibits us from growing into grace. And that includes stuff in our house, people in our house. Believe it or not, you can have people in your house that affect you spiritually. They compromise your value system because you don't want to offend them. I've had people in my house that I've thrown out of my house because I'll offend them before I offend God. And my family knows this. It's true. They've seen me in action. You're out of here, dude. But, no buts. You're out of here. We have the way of the master, which is relational evangelism. It's being able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way that brings conviction of the Holy Spirit and you leading them to Christ. Every job of a believer is to do that. That's part of our disciple process. And the last thing is kingdom finances. It's aligning our monies up with God and doing what God says to do. It's simple as that. It's not your money. It's His. He just allows you to use it for His purposes. And if you don't use it for your purposes, you read what the prophets say about those who are disobedient to God. They have holes in their pockets. They work all the time, don't have enough money. Their houses are falling apart, and so is God's. Basically what it says is you're not disciplined in what you do, and there's not enough money to satisfy your lust and hungers while your brothers, sisters in the house of God go in need. The object of the game is to win the lost out of the world and repopulate the kingdom of heaven. That's our job. And all of us should be active in first being discipled and taking what we learn, putting it into our lives so we line up with as kingdom people and then moving out to win the lost. And believe it or not, there are more ain'ts in the church than saints. You can tell by their lifestyles. But Jesus saved me. Don't get me started. Because everybody knows that I preach a salvation that is predicated on your relationship to Jesus Christ. Period. You're only as saved as your relationship to Christ. When you start living outside of what He tells you, you have just come out from under His umbrella of protection, and you deserve everything you get. I don't mean that in a nasty way, but God has a better plan. And He will give you everything that you deserve. You'll get everything you deserve because the world just wants to beat you up. We need to teach people how to properly function in the kingdom. Part of that is you know, the exercise of our kids so that they understand how to properly worship God. It's our job as parents. I'm going over. It's our job as parents to teach our kids. And it's our job. I can remember when Jesse and Gary Michael were little, they were next to us. They were not running around. And we were in a charismatic church. You know, free worship, dancing, loud, rambunctious music and all. Well, we taught them, you're with us, you will do what we do, and as you prove yourself, we will give you room to go out and dance in the aisles or go with the other kids. And of course we got saying, but Dad, she's doing that. But Dad, he's doing this. I'm not their parents. I'm trying to teach you a discipline in honoring our Father in heaven. This is His house. And we conduct ourselves in decency and order. And it was hard. Especially, we taught junior church and we were involved in all that. And, you know, but what does God say? What does God say? Comes back to those three questions. What kind of disciple am I? What kind of do I want to be? And how am I going to get there? Okay? The disciple of Christ takes up the mission of compassionate service through obedience to see what he can do for others. In other words, I call it the blessing syndrome. We go from bless me to bless them. And as we exercise by faith to bless somebody else, you know what happens? God keeps pouring on blessings. He just does. I can't explain it. I really can't. I don't work hardly any overtime, but God blesses. And the money seems to go a whole lot further. And we have more money to bless other people and do other things. And it's just God. It's just God. He meets my mortgage. He meets all this stuff. I keep Irene in the lap of luxury. And, you know, we're still looking for a refrigerator. You know, we're disciplined and saving our money. Put it over there. And this brings us to the second question. What kind of disciple do I want to be? You could be here a long time at Streams and not grow up. I call them baby Christians in adult clothing. How many of us have been to other churches and we see people acting as two-year-olds and they're 50, 40 years old, and they haven't grown up? It's because there's no discipleship process. There's no accountability what goes on. And when we work with people, we understand that there's struggles. We understand that we need to extend compassion. But one thing I can say is every person I've discipled, their lives have turned around. They know I'm committed to their success. Because when you're successful, I'm successful. Believe it or not. When I see your success, I rejoice in it. When I see you in pain and suffering, my heart breaks. That's what love is all about. It's not thinking about myself. It's thinking about how can I help you to get past this point to that point. But if you don't know where you are at this point, you'll never see this point. And that's why you need to understand, what kind of disciple do you want to be? It brings us to the last question, is how am I going to get there? What are you going to do when you finally realize and wake up that what you're doing is it's not working for you? And you constantly skirt the scriptures, you're constantly not praying, you're not seeking God, you're constantly doing your own thing, you set up appointments and then don't keep them. You do things to sabotage your well-being. How are you going to be successful? And to be truthful with you, I struggle in this area because I don't want to be satisfied. I come to a place in my life and I do a lot of self-examination. What am I doing that does not line up with God's Word? Which is part of what I do in the month of December. And I get right with God. I repent. I ask for mercy. I ask for forgiveness. I go and make good if there's offenses that have been done that I know of. And if people come to me and I've offended them, I am not too big not to repent to them and ask for forgiveness. You see, I struggle with the same stuff as you. The difference is I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I value my relationship to the King highly. I had a conversation with an individual yesterday, and I said, this is what I'd like you to do. And discussion got intense. But I want to see God move in situations. I want to see God do something. And I'm waiting to hear what God's going to do in that situation with people I talk to. You see, I don't just deal with Streams, I deal with others too. And that's the privilege of this ministry expanding, touching other lives, because it's you guys that are telling these people, and they come and they speak to us and we just give them the Word of God. I don't have anything to give you. I give you the Word of God and show you how it's active in my life. And that's what a discipler does for a disciple. An adherent hangs close, picks his brain, always wants to know what's going on. No one's like that. Pastor, can I come over and talk to you? Sure, what's going on? Close the door. What did I do, Nolan? No, I need to repent to you. All right, what did you do? Blah, 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 blah. All right, I forgive you. Okay, this is what I believe God wants you to do. And we move on. We'll hug each other. He won't allow me to do Romans 16, hug him and give him a kiss. No, that's my shoe. It's the other one. I struggle just like you do. I'm just smart enough to catch it. And God has brought us, has brought me to where I could submit myself to other men of God. Not necessarily here, but other men who are going through the same thing, who are more mature than I am, have a greater experience, and I want to glean from them. You see, I'm being discipled by them. The disciple process does not stop. It is lifelong for all of us. It's whether you're going to allow your pride to get the best of you, or you're going to put it down, nail it to the cross, and say, Pastor, Holly, Ed, Dan, I need help. Because these guys come to me, and I help them as best as I can by giving them the word of truth. What they do is what they do. But I can tell you, their lives are successful because of it. And I want your lives to be success. My heart is to present you mature to the Lord with the understanding that you are already in His service. And that you are being perfected in His service. Going through the process and doing what the Lord requires assists you and me in our spiritual growth. We're growing up together. I always say, we're on the same path. I'm just a little half a step ahead of you. Don't I? Don't I say that? You get the point. And I'm going to give you a blast from the past. Nolan, can you recite the prayer we used to say?
Lord, I have your word and I know it's true. I am everything that says I am, I have everything that says I have. I can do everything that says I can do in Jesus.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Lord, I have your word. And I know it's true. I am what it says I am. What does it say? I'm a king and a priest of the Most High God. I have everything that it says I have. I have all the blessings of Abraham to Jesus Christ kept for me in Jesus Christ. What are those promises? You need to dig it. You need to dig those promises out. Okay? I am what it says I am. I have everything. And I can do everything it says I can do. What is it that you can do? Anything your heart desires. That's found in Jesus Christ. Because you are more than conquerors through Him who died and saved you. That's what a disciple is. It's not saying what the world tells you. It's not believing the lies that our parents said. You know, you're no good, you're rotten, I should have killed you, you know, through abortion or whatever nonsense that goes on. Start quoting what God says. You're the apple of my eye. My plans are for you, for good, to be successful, to prosper you. So that you would have good hope in the future. I have a future for you. That future entails a kingdom. You are inheritors of the kingdom. Our Father has prepared a kingdom for them who believe and have sacrificed themselves for Him. That kingdom is already there, but it's already here. That is yours. You are an inheritor to that. But right now, you're servants of Him. Heirs to everything, yet owning nothing. Free. Totally free. From the retribution and judgment of sin in our lives. To live a life victoriously, unashamed, and powerful. In Christ Jesus. What are you? Are you a disciple? Or are you a follower? Only you can determine it. Lord, we just come before you, Father. As you have tested my heart, Lord, I pray that today those would have their hearts tested, their minds expanded in a way, to really do a self-examination, Father. God, We stand at the threshold of some marvelous things that you want to do. And we understand, God, that there is going to be struggles and there's going to be fight. And we understand that the enemy is raging because we not only have declared, we have started to move in his territory. And God, we don't care what we suffer. We don't care what we have to go through. We care about winning the lost and bringing them into your house, God, that your storehouses would be full, God, that they would see, that this world would see that there is Jesus Christ and Him alone is God and creator of all things, created by Him and for Him, God, including us. We were created for His good pleasure and to serve Him. So Father, as we begin this new year, let us get back on the path. Let us get back in those areas where we have just gotten tired and slothful in God and get our disciplines back in so that we could grow and become the body that you have so desired to inhabit and take forward. Help us, God, to expand our vision, to see our purpose and our plan. In your plan, God. God, you are so desirous for us, God. Help us not to be distracted by the things of the world. Help us not to be distracted by the people of the world. But help us to live the truth and speak the truth in love to everyone that would listen. And that we would save some people, God. So, Father, as we go forward today, as we move ahead in the things that you have called for us to do, God, I pray that you lead streams in the complete victory this year, and that, God, we in turn would just glorify and worship you and enjoy our relationship with you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.